Blog Talk Radio.
We can't live without them.
Hallelujah. Thank you. I worship forever. Hallelujah. Thank you. I worship you forever. Come on. They got to move.
Hallelujah. You got to send your praises up. Good times and bad times. You're still praising. When things going right, you're praising. When things doesn't go so right, you're still praising. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to have a word of prayer. I don't want to waste a lot of time apologizing for what we've been dealing with, these different issues. But praise God, it's back. And so I just want to give God the praise. Today is Thankful Thursday. And whatever you're thankful for, if you have something you want to be thankful for, press 1, and we'll let you in. That's how this is going to work. But I want to start by saying that I'm thankful for his word, because it's in his word, Father God, that he affirms who we are. And I just love that idea. I declare to God, the battle is already won. You don't have to fight it. I declare that God has preserved what is ordained for me and you, and he will lead me into it and going to lead you into it. You just have to believe that. You have to declare that you have won the victory. Go ahead on. Let it come out your mouth. Don't be afraid. Satan wants you to be able to see it. No, you don't see it, but you believe it. So you're going to declare the victory already. So I thank you, Father God, that we can declare the victory. I thank you, Father God, that we believe that you sent your word and it will not return unto you void. However, it will accomplish what you sent it out to do. I declare, God, Father, the anointing that you have placed on our lives according to Hebrews 13:21, that is real. It is real as the snow is on our faces. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for having given us a divine healing and a divine life. According to Matthew 8:2 and Isaiah 53:5. Father God, I just expect your mercy to follow me. I expect your grace to be there for me. I expect the Father God. I expect nothing less than you being God. You just be God. Hallelujah. I expect that. Because when you're God, you have favor. You have blessing for us. So I'm thankful. And I know it doesn't matter what we've done. You are loving Father, you have forgiveness in your spirit, so therefore we have forgiveness in our spirit. The Bible declared that I will live and not die. I declare it's all the works of the Lord, hallelujah. I believe he has given me, and all of us, far as I'm concerned, the abundant life, John 10:10. Jesus declared that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank you, Father God, for the use of your name. You allow us to use that name. You allow us to praise in that name. It's power in that name. For the promises in your word, Father God, concerning our children, our grandchildren, I affirm right now that all of our children and grandchildren shall be taught the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children, grandchildren, according to Isaiah 54:13. I thank you, Father God, for the praise. I thank you, Father God, for your salvation that you've given us and our children and grandchildren. And I thank you, Father God, for reminding me how important it is for us to pass along 3 generations, Father God. I know there can be a change like never ever before. So if we pass it down to our children and grandchildren and we have it, that's 3 generations. Father God, let your word live in our generation. Let it live in our family. I praise you for it, Father God. for your abundance of grace. I praise you for it. I adore you for it as well. But I certainly praise you for it. You're pointing out your spirit right now, our spirit, so that we can walk the walk and talk the talk, so we can declare that your word says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is your word, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for allowing us to operate in the new creation. Thank you for delivering us from the power of darkness, translating us into your kingdom. And because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, of sin and death, give Father God for all of it. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, to continue to let us be conquerors, and more than conquerors as well. Hallelujah. And asking for prayer. We thank God for you. You're saved, you're delivered, you're set free. You're no longer in bondage. You're healed by his stripes. Now what we have to do is start declaring that. You need to pray another prayer. What you have to do is be thankful. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, here we are with a thankful heart and a ready mind and a renewed spirit to do thine will. Now I ask you, Heavenly Father, for all of those that are desiring to have more knowledge and wisdom that you granted to them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agree with this prayer, say amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, there's a lot that we've been covering. But before we get into that, if anyone have anything they want to share, press 1. Hallelujah. Press 1. We'll let you in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to go on with the lesson. And we've been talking about God wants to reproduce himself in us. And we've been trying to lay out the fact that he calls us his children. Why? Because he wants what's in us as the same thing as in him. In other words, it's kind of hard to be a parent and some of you are not in that child. So when God says scriptures like, my little children, that means he recognizes calling those things to be not as though they were. He's saying you're his little children, as to say, I'm representing you as a parent. He's saying it as though it's real. He called us his little children. This ain't no faith thing. This is real. Because he knows we've been born again by the word, so we're in his class now. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God put us in his class. He designed a plan that the devil had no idea was coming. And that plan was to make us like him. So we are created in Christ Jesus. We are his creation. So the entire Christ formed in us, the Bible says, that Christ has to be formed in us. But the world won't see this. Because they're looking religiously. They want to see things from a religious perspective. But that's not how you have to see it. You have to see it from faith. You have to see it from the eyes of faith, through the eyes of faith. And just for the record, everything is kind of predicated on faith with God. Everything. When he spoke this world, he spoke it in faith. When he delivered us, he delivered us in faith. So faith is that substance of what hope for. God is hoping for that we be like him. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So the evidence is that the Spirit of God lives in us once we crucify the flesh by faith. I'm going to take my time and say what I have to say concerning this, because I don't know if you realize what a valid lesson this is, knowing that God wants to reproduce himself in us. Yes, I said that right. You and me. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've seen it. Remember, if God tells us to forgive 7 times, not 7, but 70 for one thing, well, he wouldn't ask us to do something he wouldn't do. So let's get a hold of this thing. Be girded up with your mind of truth so you can be receptive and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me have your mind. Thank you for wanting to see me like you as your child. That's how he sees us. And but you can't let Satan keep fooling you. The problem that I've observed is 2 Peter 3:18. But what does that say, preacher? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just don't think people are growing in God's grace. They're growing in religion. They're growing in tradition, but not growing in his grace. See, grace is that unmerited favor. So we need to grow in the things of God. Yeah, he expects for us to grow in the things of God. Peter concluded this chapter, if you will, by saying that, I mean, it's kind of like a brief letter, but he does open it up by arguing and to his readers, rather, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, to get to know him better and better. This is the most important step in, I don't want to say refueling, but in growing. You have to feed whatever it is. If it's gonna grow, you gotta feed it. You gotta feed it. No matter what it is. And this way we're talking about spiritual stuff. So it's important that we be refueled spiritually. So spiritually, so when he says in, Romans 12, 1 and 2, that our mind need to be renewed, there's an urgency there. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be you renewed. And then another scripture, he said that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. No matter how mature we are in our faith, the sinful world always will challenge our faith. We still have much room for growth. If we continue to walk in faith, we'll continue to grow. It has to become a daily thing. It's like you're growing, your children. Look at it like that. They have to grow in faith. I want to say I learned something today coming is that And it had to do with the GPS. It had to do with the GPS. That GPS, I know it can get discombobulated. I get that. I know it sometimes it ain't accurate. I get all of that. But let's look at that, the good side of what it does. Because it reminds me of faith. You speak that thing and expect it. Because remember now, faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. So when you, whatever it is, in the GPS, wherever you're going, you're hoping that it will take you to where you like to go, your destination. That becomes your substance. That GPA is what you're going to depend on to get you where you need to go. And that's what faith is. Remember that faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. For by it were the elders obtained a good report. It's only through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which did appear. So let's get a clear understanding of faith. You don't see it, you hope for it. You stand on it. It becomes your substance. So when you put your information in that GPS, look what happens, brothers and sisters. You hoping that you get to the place where you want to be. And there's going to be some stuff that you ain't going to quite understand, just like in that GPS. Once you put it in there, boy, you be going over some roads. You making some turns. But your hope is still there. And you keep pressing your way. And yes, it can get a little challenging. Yes, it can get a spooky. I don't want to say scary, but you done put your information and you hoping that it takes you to wherever that you lead, wherever you asking. It was Hebrews 11, 23rd Street. You know, you hoping it takes you there. And in the midst of us going there, there will be some trials, there will be some tribulation, there will be some unexpected things, like a deer jump out in front of your car. Unexpected stuff. Things are happening. But you know, you persevere. You keep on because your faith is out there. You've got to make it to your destination. Wherever that is, whatever you're believing for, if it's healing, if it's deliverance. I noticed something with that GPS. It kind of talked back to you a little bit. And if you get in that word, it's going to talk back to you. And you're going to hear things like Paul went to and said, well, Lord, this is where I want to go. And this is what I want to do. And I'm being challenged today. I was challenged this morning. I was challenged at noontime. I was challenged in the evening. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So when you're in that word, you find out, hey, God's grace is going to help you through because you're going to grow in it. You're going to learn that. Hey, let me tell you the art of growing. When you've been through some stuff, you learn that, hey, man, I've been there, done that. I ain't doing that no more. That means you're growing. When you're not making the same mistakes over and over and over, you're growing. When you have made a quality decision that, hey, I'm not doing that anymore. You're growing. It's almost you can see that in schools. When you make the decision, I'm not going to repeat the third grade number. I'm not going to repeat the fifth grade. I'm going to get my homework. That means you're growing. God expects for us to grow in knowledge of him. When will we grow in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be just like him? Grace means love is at work in us. The Greek word means love gift. The Spirit longs for us to grow in this love. Yeah. And it's people, they don't want to talk about that kind of love, the God kind of love. Yes, we are capable of loving like God loves. It is the word that builds into our inner part. That word began to just continue to build. And believe me, it's only through the Pauline revelation that you become convinced that the ultimate of every epistle, for instance, is to build Jesus' life in the true believer. Not anyone, but the true believer. His plan for building himself into our existence, our system, talking about in your spirit, man, we must take Jesus' place. At some point in time, it has to become a reality that we must take Jesus' place. He says, now, greater works you're going to do because I go to the Father. Paul said, for this cause, since the day I heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. That should be our prayer for one another, that our sister, our brother, be filled with the revelation knowledge. The word knowledge in the Greek, it really means full knowledge, complete knowledge, exact knowledge. So we should have that kind of knowledge, for it is in the revelation. We have the Spirit who inspire it in our teaching. It is in the Spirit. He has never left us, and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And then we're to take that at heart and to know that we're free people. We can go on and do God's will now. I don't care what the organized church is doing. It will be wisdom to use the knowledge of his revelation in a daily walk. People just think they know. Because I was talking to somebody during the service the other night. They said, I'm going to put it exactly the way they put it. You know, I'm telling them, we're about revelation knowledge. They said, we are too. And then they began to talk about not revelation knowledge, about what they done experienced. Having to do with revelation knowledge now. Because, see, revelation knowledge has to come from the Word of God. That's where it has to come from. And if it's not coming from the Word of God, it's not of God. Remember 1 Corinthians 2:9? It throws some people, but listen, brothers and sisters, others, it throws some light on this. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for us and for those that love him. Well, most people want that scripture to mean when you leave here, God has some stuff prepared for you you ain't seen. See, that makes a lot of sense, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about right now. Right now. God want to show us some stuff that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard on this side. See all that on the other side, it shouldn't even matter. You know that to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know you're going to get something on the other side. But it's this side we need to be able to battle. So it's on this side that we understand we need this revelation knowledge, especially to come back against the enemy. It's through the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, is able to search all things, yea, the deep things of God, and our recreated spirit is excited about the Word of God. Once it began to taste it, and we're holding that up. I won't talk about it today, but maybe even next week, if I can conclude this. Next week, I'm going to talk about we're limiting God in us. Yeah, we have to stop limiting God in us. Some of that bad teaching have made us think that we have to limit God. We have to stop that. God has so much more for us, but you can't limit him. Jesus said, for I always do those things that pleases him. And that should be our teaching. Hey, we're going to do what pleases the Father. We don't care if it don't please nobody else, as long as it pleases the Father. Okay. Anybody have any comments, anything they want to share, press one. Hallelujah. Anyway. Y'all don't know nothing. Y'all know I'm not gonna try to beg you. I'm not gonna trick you. I'm not gonna call on you. If you wanna share something, press one, I'll let you in. That's the standards around here. Who the heck is it? Okay, well, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon. Thank you so much.